This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Path to citizenship. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, on this Friday, March 19. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The House has passed two measures that open the door for certain illegal immigrants to become legal. It's not clear if the evenly split Senate will follow suit.
U.S. and Chinese officials clashed on the opening day of talks in Alaska, with each side pointing an accusatory finger in front of cameras.
In sports, the NCAA tournament begins in earnest today, and the NFL has a new deal that streams Thursday night football on Amazon Prime.
And the long-gone vehicles and brands that could be making a comeback.
What we've seen in the auto industry over the last several years is automakers bringing these long-gone vehicles back to life. You know, we're talking about the Ford Bronco, the Toyota Supra, and the latest now, the Jeep Wagoneer.
Nathan Bomey at USA Today on the potential return of the Chevy El Camino or the Cadillac Eldorado. The first high-level U.S.-China talks of the Biden administration are off to a rocky start in Anchorage. Both yesterday laid out sharp rebukes of the other's policies in a rare public display that highlighted tensions. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken told his Chinese counterparts in highly unusual extended back and forth in front of cameras that he will address, among other things, Hong Kong, Taiwan, cyber attacks on the U.S., and economic coercion of allies.
Each of these actions threatens the rules-based order that maintains global stability. That's why they're not merely internal matters and why we feel an obligation to raise these issues.
Meanwhile, China's top diplomat lashed out about what he said was the United States' struggling democracy and poor treatment of minorities. He also criticized America's foreign trade policies. The Biden administration has made clear it's looking for a change in behavior from China, which has expressed hope to reset relations that had worsened drastically under former President Trump. Authorities in Georgia say the man accused of killing eight people at spas in the Atlanta area was on his way to Florida to carry out more shootings when he was arrested. 21-year-old Robert Long waived his right to an initial court appearance in Cherokee County yesterday. Investigators said he indicated he committed the shootings because of a sex addiction. USA Today spoke with former roommates of Mr. Long in transitional housing, who say he'd been treated for it and struggled with it in the past. Mr. Long also told investigators he attacked the spas where he was known to frequent because he wanted to eliminate the temptation to feed his sexual urges. Atlanta Police Deputy Chief Charles Hampton Jr.
I'm not sure about any mental illness. All we do know is that he did purchase the gun on the day of the incident.
Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms says there were red flags that the businesses provided illicit services. Six of the eight victims were of Asian descent, despite mis-messaging. Authorities are still considering the incident a possible hate crime. To Washington now, the House has passed two bills providing pathways to citizenship for certain categories of illegal immigrants. By a vote of 228 to 197, lawmakers voted to create a path to citizenship for young immigrants known as Dreamers, who came to the U.S. before the age of 19, as well as hundreds of thousands of immigrants living in the U.S. under a humanitarian program. California Democrat Raul Ruiz.
It is precisely now, during a pandemic, when we need to pass these bills. Dreamers are doctors, nurses, lab technicians, contact tracers, and job creators.
California Republican Kevin McCarthy.
No law has changed by moving of Congress. This entire crisis is created simply by Joe Biden's actions and words.
A second bill sets out a path to citizenship for farm workers in the country illegally and their family members. Meanwhile, NBC News says some border facilities in the Rio Grande Valley are holding 10 times their capacity of migrants of all ages. Coming up next, where House Republicans break from former President Trump. Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business and powered by Intel Core processors. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Hey, welcome to Friday. Former President Trump has taken the remarkable step of encouraging everyone in the country, even his reluctant followers, to get a COVID-19 vaccine. But the message has been slow to reach House Republicans. It's a story by Mike Lillis, congressional reporter at The Hill. Mike, explain this.
That's right. What you're getting is a lot of different messages coming out of the Republican side of the aisle. You're getting, you know, folks like Mike Pence, who got a vaccine on camera. You're getting Mitch McConnell, a polio survivor, who also got a vaccine in December, has been very forceful about recommending that everyone get one. So there's that group giving advice. Then you're having another group who's saying, you know, this is freedom of choice. Consult your doctor. Do whatever you want. We are not here in Congress to lend advice to anybody about how they should conduct their medical business. And then there's a third group that is sort of sending a warning. They're saying that the Democrats want to control people with this vaccine message. They want to reopen, you know, Congress immediately. They want to end proxy voting and all the Zoom hearings and that kind of thing, even as only 75% of the House has been inoculated. And so they are almost discouraging people from getting vaccinated by pointing to this warning of Democrats wanting to control your life. So all of that is stepping on the message of Donald Trump, who came out a couple days ago on Fox News in a much-discussed interview where he very forcefully recommended that a lot of people go out and take it. And beyond that, he said he acknowledged that a lot of the people who voted for him were those who were most reluctant to get the vaccine. So he delivered this forceful message that's being kind of ignored on Capitol Hill by some of his closest allies.
All right. So he gets a lot of credit, obviously, for paving the way for the launch of these vaccines in such a short amount of time. It makes sense that he would endorse the idea, I think, doesn't it?
Well, sure. Yeah, you can't take credit for the development of the vaccine and then tell people not to get it.
Yeah.
So that's the spot he's in. Democrats are pointing out that it took him 2 months after he got the vaccine to make such an aggressive statement. So they're still being a little bit critical. This is partisan Capitol Hill, but at the same time, you know, yes, it makes perfect sense that Trump would come out and tell people to get it because he's hailing the. His role in developing them, and by all accounts, he deserves a lot of the credit for that.
We're speaking with Mike Lillis, congressional correspondent at The Hill. His piece is called House GOP Holdouts Muddle Trump Vaccine Message. So with regards to the messaging here, it's not that some of these holdout Republicans are anti-vaccine. To me, it strikes me it's more about the message. Like, you can encourage me to get the vaccine, but don't mandate that I get the vaccine. Is that part of this?
Well, you know, that's sort of a straw man argument, the freedom of choice argument, because no one is mandating that people get the vaccine, and no one is even suggesting that anybody that there be a requirement to do so, not on Capitol Hill and not off of Capitol Hill. So, you know, that's more an ideological message that they're sending to their base. You know, I think the partisan part of this, has to go back to a year ago when the virus first arrived, and Trump and the Republicans were sort of downplaying it, and their supporters adopted that position. And you saw that with the masks over the course of the last year, and you're seeing it now with the vaccine. And, you know, it is a very partisan issue because the polls are showing, new poll from NPR just a couple days ago said 47% of those who voted for Trump say they're not going to get the vaccine, versus 10% for Biden. So, they pointed out that ethnicity is not an issue, gender is not an issue, but partisanship is the big issue here, dividing those who want to get it and those who do not. So, there is a question of whether or not members of Congress have some responsibility to lead by example.
Yeah.
And that's the criticism coming from the Democrats right now.
Right, because some in Washington, or some Republicans in Washington, are saying, essentially, don't look to me as being an example.
Right. You know, do what you want. This is this is your medical history. This is your health that you're dealing with. Consult your doctor and don't ask me what to do. I don't know. And you're hearing that even from some of the physicians up here. But you know, it should be pointed out that 75% of the house has been vaccinated, meaning 25% has not. That means about 110 people up here on the House side have not been vaccinated, lawmaker-wise.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Lillis, congressional reporter at The Hill. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A first face-to-face meeting between U.S. and Chinese officials got off to a heated start in Anchorage as Secretary of State Antony Blinken's statement that the Biden administration would bring up deep concerns about some of China's actions around the world was met with immediate pushback from Chinese counterparts. China's Central Foreign Affairs Director's translated remarks.
The Western world does not represent the global public opinion.
The Chinese accused the U.S. delegation of being condescending in its tone, while a U.S. official said the representatives from Beijing seemed intent on grandstanding.
Number two.
The Kremlin has reacted angrily to President Biden's remarks that Russian leader Vladimir Putin is a killer, calling the comment unprecedented and describing the relationship between the two countries as very bad. Putin nevertheless invited Biden to hold open online talks in the wake of the remarks.
Number three.
With the U.S. closing in on President Biden's goal of injecting 100 million coronavirus vaccinations weeks ahead of his target date, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the nation is now in position to help supply neighbors Canada and Mexico with millions of life-saving shots.
Balancing the need to let the approval process play out of the AstraZeneca vaccine as it's taking place in the U.S. with the importance of helping stop the spread in other countries, we are assessing how we can loan doses.
Biden promised to unveil a new vaccination target next week as the U.S. is on pace to have enough of the three currently authorized vaccines to cover the entire adult population just 10 weeks from now. The FBI has released 10 videos of what it describes as the most egregious attacks on law enforcement officers during the January 6th riot at the Capitol. Federal agents have arrested more than 300 individuals who took part in the mob, but they're still struggling to identify some of the most violent suspects who were seen on video assaulting law enforcement agents. The NFL is making another significant transition in the way its games are viewed. The league's new rights agreements include a streaming service receiving an exclusive full-season package for the first time. Amazon Prime Video will be the home of 15 Thursday night games. Amazon will take over the entire Thursday night package from Fox, which has had it since 2018.
On another sports note, Jen and I tonight will be watching Rutgers versus Clemson in the NCAA tournament.
Join in.
Try to stay awake that
Climb
late.
Climb on the bandwagon with us.
We win that game?
Yes.
Yes. With the enormous buzz surrounding the release of the new Ford Bronco and now the newly revealed and revived Jeep Wagoneer SUV, automakers are expected to continue looking into their past to determine their future. How so? Here's Nathan Bomey, business reporter at USA Today. Nathan, what are we seeing?
Well, you know, what we've seen in the auto industry over the last several years is automakers bringing these long-gone vehicles back to life. You know, we're talking about the Ford Bronco, the Toyota Supra, and the latest now, the Jeep Wagoneer. There's a lot of other examples, too. And so I thought to myself, you know, if the automakers see this as a viable way to introduce new vehicles by bringing back these old nameplates, then there's got to be other vehicles sitting there gathering dust on the shelf that could potentially make an appearance once again.
Yeah. All right. So you looked at them. And before we get to them, why is it they would bring these back? Because in many cases, didn't these vehicles just fall out of favor or fail?
That's exactly right. You know, I think time heals all wounds in some cases. And certainly that's the case here. But there is a very logistical reason why they would do this. In fact, you know, they've got a problem, which is that, you know, automakers have actually snapped up many of the viable names out there for new vehicles. So it's actually difficult for the auto companies to find a really unique new name that hasn't been taken. And basically, that's one reason. And the other reason is, you know, if you're going to invest in a new vehicle, it costs a lot of money to market. And if you can start with a head start because people already are aware of a vehicle name, then that can actually be a real incentive to go ahead and choose that name.
Wow. All right. There are some cautionary tales, right? The Lincoln Continental, for example, which tried a couple of years ago.
Exactly. You know, that one didn't work out so well. You know, Continental is a name that a lot of people remember. And in fact, the critics really liked that vehicle when they revealed it, and it got good reviews, but ultimately people didn't buy it because it was a large car, and people aren't really buying those full-size cars right now. So, it does show you that there's no guarantee of success.
We're speaking with Nathan Bomey, business reporter at USA Today. His story is called, Could These Long-Gone Vehicles Make a Comeback? Chevrolet, Cadillac, Dodge Classic Cars Offer Opportunity. All right, so which ones kind of stand out here?
Well, I think the Chevrolet El Camino is a really great example of one that has got a good chance of coming back. You know, GM has been sitting on that nameplate for quite a long time. This is a sort of a combined pickup slash car of sorts, something very unique that we don't really see in the auto industry right now. But with pickups being as popular as they are, you have to wonder if GM will take a look at that because there's, especially because the compact pickup race may be about to start to take off. You know, we have full-size and mid-size pickups. There aren't really many small pickups left, so that would be an interesting one. Another one is the Cadillac Eldorado, which I think has got to be one of the coolest names out there. But, whether Cadillac wants to do that is unclear because, the Cadillac is moving in an electric vehicle direction, and would the Eldorado really fit under an electric vehicle brand is hard to say.
Thanks, Nathan. Nathan Bomey, business reporter at USA Today. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. In the sport of business, we're all players. And with the game always changing, you need to be versatile. So does your wardrobe. You want both style and comfort to look as good as you feel inside the office or out. That's what Cuts Clothing is all about. Cuts Clothing keeps you sharp wherever the game takes you, from the boardroom to the bar to the gym. How? They reinvented men's clothing, starting with the T-shirt. Their Pika Tri-Blend fabric is buttery soft, wrinkle-free, and keeps its shape. Everything I've worn from Cuts is next-level comfort. Their polos, hoodies, and crew sweatshirts, all classics, made modern with custom-engineered fabrics you have to wear to believe. So versatile, you'll never need to take them off, and so comfortable, you won't want to. It's not just the lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing.
We don't take sides. We deliver the information you need to start your day. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, March 19. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. U.S. and Chinese officials clash in Alaska. House passes bills creating a path to citizenship for certain illegals. Europe will resume using the COVID vaccine shots from AstraZeneca. The U.S. today will mark 100 million coronavirus shots administered. Javier Becerra confirmed as Health and Human Services Secretary. Texas Southern, Drake, Norfolk State and UCLA won play-in games. The NCAA tournament begins in earnest today. And an update on the Girl Scout whose cookie sales pitch went viral. That story in about 20 minutes. Time for a business update, and it's brought to you by Capital One. Capital One has no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Capital One N.A., member FDIC. After carrying out an orderly retreat from assembly lines as the pandemic arrived in the U.S., many manufacturers pulled out the playbook they followed in past recessions, cutting costs and preserving cash. But Wall Street Journal reporter Bob Tita says that left them unprepared for the sharp rebound in consumer demand that began just weeks later and never let up. He says while manufacturers aced the shutdown, they're botching the recovery. Bob, take us through this.
Well, in the spring, when orders went down and factories shut down, companies, big and small, immediately cut production and they quit buying and they really sort of battened down the hatches for what everybody thought would be a long and hard recession, and that really just didn't happen.
And so as orders for things like boats, cars, fences, I mean, you name it, it seemed to be in short supply. Manufacturers caught flat-footed, as one executive said. Why was that?
Well, because typically in previous recessions, things come back slowly, and they come back slowest in products and markets for sort of discretionary items like boats and barbells and things that people can do without because it's typically you only buy the essentials, and so a lot of industries that were involved in those kind of products were really surprised when they started to see a big spike in orders. But what was happening is that people started spending on those items because there was no spending on anything else. So they couldn't go out to dinner. They couldn't go to the movies. They couldn't go to concerts or go on vacations. So what did they do? They went in, they bought boats, and they spent on their house, and they spent on home improvements and things like that. So that's what sort of surprised everybody.
Speaking with Bob Tita, manufacturing reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His story is called Consumer Demand Snaps Back, Factories Can't Keep Up. Explain in the supply chain lingo what the bullwhip effect is here and what we're seeing.
Well, typically when sort of slumps like we went through, supply chains get very emptied out. So companies don't really order more. They whittle down inventories and they do everything they can to conserve cash. When you start to get orders again, then you have companies tend to, the supply chain sort of tend to overreact a bit. So if the end market demand goes up 10%, all the way through the supply chain, people start ordering to accommodate that demand. But as you go further and further along the supply chain, they also start to order more than that amount because they anticipate that the orders are going to rise again or that there's going to be more demand, that sort of thing. What's happened this time is we've kind of had that situation happen and companies have just ordered even more. So we've had bigger increases, bigger ordering, all on the supply chain, and it creates a sort of distorted effect. So a 10% increase at the actual end market level at the far end of the supply chain could be like a 50% increase in orders for somebody else.
Wow. All right, so what's the customer impact there? Higher prices?
Well, what's the customer impact? Typically, as companies have a harder time getting materials, which is one of the sort of impacts of the bullwhip effect, because everybody's ordering and they can't get what they need, prices start to go up.
Thanks, Bob. Bob Tita, manufacturing reporter at the Wall Street Journal. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it's Friday, and that's the perfect time to dig up a pizza story, but no one in their right mind would actually want their pizza dug up from the ground, complete with dirt. Unfortunately, that was the unwanted topping one Detroit man got, courtesy of his delivery driver. Rodney King told local TV that a DoorDash driver delivering a pizza to his home dropped it out of the box and onto his front porch. The reason he knows this is because King and his wife were watching all this unfold from their doorbell camera. They saw the pizza slide out of the box onto the ground, then watched as the driver tried to cover up the incident by scooping up the pizza and putting it back in the box.
Oof.
Instead of enjoying his hot meal, King had to file a complaint with DoorDash. He said the company refunded his money. A DoorDash spokesperson said the driver's behavior was inappropriate and unacceptable, and that he had been immediately deactivated when they find out what happened.
Oh, man. Well,
there are some foods you could probably get away with that more than others.
Right.
You know, pizza being as sticky and sloppy as it is, I can't imagine there's any way you could open up a pizza box and say, you know, and see this pizza that had been dropped on the ground and think that something had not been amiss. You know, because it looked like it folded over on its side and it flopped over. I mean, there's just no
way. That's bad. All right. Well, so, I mean, But the porch, let's break this down. Better to have dropped it on the porch than say,
than like the lawn.
Yeah, or the landscaping, or the
street.
There might be mulch or something.
Yeah.
I might give the guy a pass.
Yeah.
And just say, you owe me one next time. I'm gonna pick some of the pieces of debris off the pizza and eat it because I'm hungry and hope that the beer or wine has enough alcohol to kill any germs.
That's how much beer or wine you had before the pizza arrived. But and also, you know, I mean, the guy did pick it up quickly, so there could have been a 5-second rule in effect here.
He did
you know, act quickly to pick up the pizza. So I don't know if it was within 5 seconds, but it was pretty close.
DoorDash does not apparently subscribe to that theory.
Yeah,
after 5 seconds.
And good for them for not subscribing to that theory.
And so what did he appear to trip, or what did the video look like?
He pulled it out sideways from the heated bag that they come in, and they kind of slipped out of the box that way. He was kind of dumb the way he pulled it out of the box, to be honest.
All right.
And if your pizza order doesn't work out tonight, maybe you can pivot to some hot wings. Just don't let your dog have a taste. That's the message from one vet who's gone viral on TikTok, reminding people of something they should know already. Don't give chicken with hot sauce to your pets. This is in response to one of those challenges on TikTok where people do this and film the funny responses from their dog. The vet named Peter, who is one half of the popular Peter and JC account on the platform with over 1 million followers, showed a dog that was now in the hospital after eating too much hot sauce and was diagnosed with pancreatitis. The clip has been liked nearly 300,000 times, and most of the over 6,000 comments were people wondering who in their right mind would give their dog hot sauce to eat. Many of the TikTokers who participated in this trend have deleted their videos showing their dogs being fed hot sauce and hot sauce covered food, including the originator, whose video has been watched nearly 9 million times.
Man.
I mean, come on.
People are stupid. I mean, dogs eat indiscriminately, generally speaking. If anything has some sort of smell to it, they're going to eat it.
Yes, I mean, dogs are going to eat anything. Does it mean they should eat everything?
Right. It's people should apply and, you know, to have to be pet owners or something, right? Thanks, Mike. Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business and powered by Intel Core processors. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for spending time with us. What do you plan to do with your government giveaway? Has the $1,400 stimulus checks arrive in millions of American bank accounts? A lot of the money is likely to stay there for a while. A new poll from Yahoo Finance and Harris finds that 62% of Americans say they need more stimulus money to help pay for necessities, but only 41% expect to actually spend the money that way. The same set of respondents said they only spent 43% of the money they got from two prior rounds of stimulus in January of this year and March of last year. So stimulus recipients may change some of their spending plans once they get the money. 40% of respondents say they plan to save it, with another 36% planning to pay down debt. 10% say they plan to invest in traditional assets, while another 7% plan to spend it on cryptocurrencies. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Police say nothing is off the table in the investigation of the deadly shootings at Atlanta area massage parlors, including whether the slayings were a hate crime. Atlanta Deputy Police Chief Charles Hampton Jr.
We had four Asian females that were killed. And so we are looking at everything to make sure that we discover and determine what the motive of our homicides were.
The shootings, which killed 8 people, prompted President Biden and Vice President Harris to change their plans for a previously scheduled trip to Atlanta. The pair postponed a political event in favor of meeting today with Asian American community leaders.
Number two.
The House has voted to unlatch a gateway to citizenship for young dreamers, migrant farm workers, and immigrants who have fled war or natural disasters, giving Democrats wins in the year's first votes on an issue that faces an uphill climb in the Senate. On a near party line vote, lawmakers approved one bill offering legal status to about 2 million dreamers and hundreds of thousands of migrants admitted for humanitarian reasons.
Number three.
The Biden administration says thousands of students defrauded by for-profit schools will have their federal loans fully erased, reversing a Trump administration policy that had given them only partial relief. The change could lead to $1 billion in loans being canceled for 72,000 borrowers. The judge in Derek Chauvin's trial will rule today on the defense's request to delay the proceedings and to submit evidence related to George Floyd's 2019 arrest. Chauvin is charged with second and third degree murder and manslaughter in the killing of Floyd last May. All 12 jurors for the trial have now been selected after several were cut over concerns about impartiality. Without opposition, the Senate has confirmed veteran diplomat William Burns as CIA director, giving him control of the nation's premier spy agency. The approval came after Republican Senator Ted Cruz of Texas lifted a hold he had placed on the nomination. This certainly comes as no surprise, but it could have major implications for the entertainment industry going forward. Box office revenue skidded 80% in 2020 to just $2.2 billion. At the same time, subscribers of online services crossed 1 billion to top out at 1.1 billion. A 26% surge from 2019. All told, the global home entertainment market generated revenue of $68.8 billion in 2020, a 23% jump over 2019.
That's some big numbers. Thank you, Jen. The Girl Scout, whose virtual cookie sales pitch went viral earlier this year, has sold thousands of boxes of cookies. Now she's focused on giving back to her community. Allie Schroyer, a first grader from Scottsdale, Arizona, was starting to sell Girl Scout cookies in January this year when she made an adorable sales pitch to a doorbell security camera.
What's your favorite color? Because the boxes are those colors. Then maybe your favorite color and the box is that color, and then you can choose it. And then, well, yeah.
Her mom posted the pitch on Facebook. The video went viral. According to ABC 15, Allie ended up selling 3,700 boxes of cookies to people across the U.S. Allie has also reportedly donated more than 1,000 boxes of cookies to nursing homes, hospitals, healthcare workers. Her mom said she wanted to hit a goal to have over 1,000 boxes donated to nursing homes to bring some joy to elders in isolation. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.